Okay, today's daf is Nida Lamed Dalet. We're going to start at the bottom of Lamed Gimel Amud Bet, two lines from the bottom. We were talking about the Tzduki women yesterday who showed their ketamim to the rabbis and are very careful about Hilchotum Avatara and doing it the way the Prushim did it, even though they don't believe in that. And it seems from what we ended with yesterday about Rabbi Yossi, who said that there was this, right, everybody showed their ketamim except for this one woman and she died. You know, I think that there was some way the Prushim did a lot of threat tactics and tried to fear them into keeping the mitzvot. It's almost like, you know, you can be part of our community as long as you do this, and maybe that, you know, there was a little bit of the fear element here, and that's why they did it the way the Prushim did it. And that explains the story with the Kohen Gadol, when he went to ask that woman, right? Remember, the guy spit in his face, and he was worried maybe the guy had been Bo'el Nida and had slept with his wife when she was in Nida, because maybe they keep it like the Stukim do, and they count the days differently. And not that they count, but they'll count Am Yarok, right? We said there were two issues, or the Shevanakim start a day earlier. So that was the concern. So now the Gemara says, V'tepuk le'mishum tzinor adam ha'aretz. But in general, and the whole concern was maybe he was Bo'el Nida, and that's why his saliva was tameh. But there's other reasons why his saliva could have been tameh. Basically, we call it Stuki. He's like an Am Haaretz, because what's an Am Haaretz? It's someone who doesn't keep the laws of Tum and Tara the way the rabbis did. We know he doesn't keep general laws of Tum and Tara. It's not just the Nida issue. It's generally he's not makpid on Tum and Tara. So because of that, why didn't we say he was worried about other things? It doesn't help. Okay, so he wasn't Bo'al Nida. Other problems. Some are baye, but Stuki chaver. Just like we answered last time about the kutim, oh, it must be a Stuki who keeps Chomentara carefully. So Amarava, what kind of answer is that? Stuki chaver, bo'al nida meshavetle. If he keeps Chomentara carefully, well then you wouldn't have been accusing him of being a bo'al nida. So that doesn't make any sense. Ela Amarava, very interesting answer. Regel hava, it was a chag. V'tumata ma'aretz baregel, kita hara shavinu rabanan. Okay, so now what does this mean? It was the regel, and because it was the holiday, well, we don't have to worry about tuma on the regel. We consider all amei haaretz tahorim on the regel. How do we know this? Dechtiv hayasef kol ish Yisrael el ha'ir ish echad chaverim. Okay, it's a pasuk in Shoftim. This is at the end of Shoftim with Pilegesh Pegivah. It said they all gathered together. Ki ish echad chaverim. What do you see here? Hakatuv asa'an kulan chaverim. They're all considered chaverim. By the way, the Yerushalmi quotes a different pasuk of Yerushalayim ki ir shechubra la yachdav, famous pasuk. That from there they learn chaver, again, that they're all chaverim, right? Chaverim means they keep tumah and tahara. Okay, what's unique about the regel? First of all, that pasuk, if you notice, doesn't really talk about a regel. Okay, it says, right, they were gathered. Rashi says, anytime people gather, right, they call a regel is a gathering. It doesn't even mean a holiday particularly. Rashi basically says, you know, when everyone gathers together, the assumption of Rashi is we don't want to embarrass anyone, make anyone stand out, so we treat everyone equally. If you have an individual case where there's Nama Aretz, and okay, so don't eat his food. But if you're all together, it's not, you know, you can't start saying, oh, maybe his food was tameh, maybe what he touched. So we treat him that way. The Rambam has a different answer. He says it's because even the Amei Haaretz, when it came to the regel, everyone was coming to Yerushalayim, they were all makpid on becoming tahor. And he gives a different reason. What's interesting is the Rambam, that's what he says in the Mishnah Torah. In the Moreh Nevuchim, he says that the idea of the regel is to bring everyone together, and laharbot achva v're'ut. And because of that, if we started separating, it would cause a lot of, you know, fighting and just not the opposite of chaverut. And it's interesting because you see here that you can override halacha in order for shalom and unity. It's a very nice idea.
Not very modern.
Well, depends what modern, which where you are in the modern or where you are in the scale. Yes. So, okay, right. It's just that people have less broad shoulders nowadays, you know, to say when we can do that and when we can't.
We don't have anybody who can say it. We know that there's no single authority that can make that decision.
Right. In those days, there wasn't a single authority either,
as we know, right? Fewer.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's the same thing. There's lots of different opinions then, and, you know, it's just a matter of were people strong enough to say, let's go with my opinion. One difference is that things were not as set in stone in those days, you know, because they hadn't been around for generations, and maybe also there was a little more fluidity.
Was coming to Yerushalayim for the regel, wasn't there Sanhedrin?
Yeah.
Which
Right. Theoretically, the Sanhedrin could have made a more clear decision. It's possible.
It's still pretty early, though.
Right. It's possible. Okay. Obviously, this discussion is happening after that.
Right. But they're talking about a time that was earlier.
Right. Right. It's true. Okay. Mishnah. Dam ovede kochavim. Okay. Maybe we should do a little background here. Okay. I'll give you some background. Okay. We have the blood of the Nida and the Zava and the Yoledet, right? Their blood is Tameh unless it's Dam Tohar of a Yoledet. Okay? That's an Avatuma, it's Metame, Maga, Masa, and Lach and Yavesh. Okay, even if it's dry, we're still going to say that is Tameh. Then we have Zov of a man and Shechvat Zera, okay, the semen. Those are considered Avatuma, okay? The Zov, you have to have two Re'iyot. I said the other day three. It's a mistake. It's two. Okay, we're going to get to that later today's daf. And the Metame only, right. If the first Re'iyah is only B'maga, the second is already Maga and Masa, and then we have also all the, the Zav and the Yoled and all that, their Mishkav and Moshav. We're not going to get into that now. And they're only Metame Lach and not Yavesh. Okay, there's a big difference between the Zav and the Shechvat Zera because it's only when it's lach and not if it's dried out. Okay, so only if it's still liquidy, not if it's dried out. Now, all of these people, the Zav, the Zava, the Yoledet, and we had a drasha teaching us also the Mitzora, if you remember, all the Rok, right, it comes from the Zav, that the Ki Rok, if he spits. So all of the liquids that come out of these people, right, again, drasha from Lazachar v'Lanakeva, we learned Lazachar also for the Mitzora and also Lanakeva for a female Mitzora. There, anything that comes out, their urine or their saliva, is going to be Tameh. Okay, that's called Mayan. Now, the law of Mayan has to be like a Mayan. Now, what happens in a Mayan? Okay, I don't know if this is exactly a Mayan, but the way they say is that these things collect in your body and then they all come out at once. We talked about this already once. As opposed to dam, which drips, okay? So therefore, for example, a zav, if he has dam coming out, we said that's not metame, because that's not a mayan, that's not, right? Even though theoretically it's a liquid coming out of his body, like his rok and like his urine, but we don't call it that because it doesn't come out in the same way, okay? So that's another thing. So any of the meraglayim and the rok, they're also considered an avatuma, they're metame, bemaga, and masa, okay? And it's called, this whole thing about a gathering together is called mitagelet, okay, like a circle, kind of gathers together in a circle, and then goes out. Okay, one other thing, I think that's it. Okay, we'll end with that for our intro. One more thing. We're going to get to this right away in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to quote this pasuk about how Zav is only by Yisrael and not by Ovei Kochavim because it says in the pasuk, Dabrio B'nei Yisrael. And therefore, it doesn't relate to non-Jews. However, the rabbis were gozer that they're always going to be considered Zavim and Zavot. Okay? We're going to just assume a Stam Ovei Kochavim has laws of that. It's a Gzera D'Rabbanan. Okay? Which just to Rabbanan, it's not to Oraita. Okay, and they're going to be Metame, Maga, Masa, Mishkav, Moshav, all that. Okay, so they were Metame. So now the question becomes, Dam Ovedet Kochavim, V'dam Tahara Shel Metzorat. Okay, so now the Dam of an Ovedet Kochavim, okay, which we said, right, she's treated like a Zava. Okay, but what are we going to do with her blood, blood that comes out of her uterus, or the Dam Tohar of a Metzorat? Okay, that's the Dam Tohar of Leidah. Now, what do we say about a Metzorat? Any liquids that come out of her body are problematic, but what liquids? Rok and Meraglayim, right? Urine and saliva, but not her dam. Okay, so Beit Shammai Metaharim, they say when it comes to the dam of an Ovedet Kochavim, and we're going to see why in a minute, why they're not makpid on her dam, or the Dam Tohar of a Metzora, Beit Shammai says is Tahor. Beit Hillel omrim kiroka ukimemei ragleha. Both of these things, the Ovedet Kochavim, the blood coming out of her, is perceived as any liquid coming out of her body. And likewise, the Dam Tohar of a Mitzorat. So even though, in other words, think about it, Mitzorat, we're talking about a Jewish Mitzorat. A Jewish Mitzorat sees blood, if it's Nida blood, she's a Nida. We don't need to talk about that. What we mean is, since she's a Mitzorat, and now there's blood coming out, and since this blood is Dam Tohar, we're talking about from day number 8 to 40, or day number 15 to 80 of, right, depending on whether she gave birth to a boy or a girl, where we say that's Dam Tohar, what are we doing with the status of her blood that comes out? Do we say, well, that's a Mayan coming out of the body? So what did we say before? It has to be Mitagelet V'yotzeit, and this Dam is not. So her Dam, according to Beit Shammai, is Tahor, but Beit Hillel says, no, 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 we're going to be Machmir on her Dam also. Because Beit Hillel says, that's really a Mayan. Okay? So let's just go backwards, okay? We'll work from the back, the last thing we learned, and then go back to the other things. According to that, if we take the Dam of the Mitzora, Beit Hillel basically says it's Midoraita. The Dam of the Mitzora, even if it's Dam Tohar, we're going to say that's like Horoka Meraglayim, which is Midoraita, because we learned it out from the Pasuk about Lanakeva, that a Mayan of a Mitzora. He views that as a Mayan. Beit Shammai doesn't view it as a Mayan and therefore thinks it's Tahor. When it comes to the Ovei Kochavim, then each of them is going to say, okay, so the Beit Shammai is going to say the Dam of an Ovei Kochavim, we're going to be Mekel, okay, and his reason we're going to be Mekel is because we're going to be Machmir in other cases of Ovei Kochavim and Mekel in this case, so that people know, okay, this is an interesting thing, we've learned this before, but I'll review. When you make a gzera, especially in Tumah, you have a bit of a problem. Why? If it's just a gzera de Rabbanan, then what happens if that person comes in contact with Truma and Kodshim? You don't burn it. Remember, Truma and Kodshim only get burnt if it's Vadai, or Torah level. This is not Torah level. This is only gzera de Rabbanan, so you don't burn it. Because of that, they want to make a heker so that you know that it's only de Rabbanan. So they were mekel in the case of the Dam of a Oveda Kochavim, so that you don't come to be metame harok and meraglayim. Now, if we're treating her as a zava, then harok and meraglayim are problematic. So they say, well, harok and meraglayim are avatumas, and they're going to be metame. But if they are, it's only derabbanan, and you don't burn the trumer kutchin that they mess up. And the way that they made sure people did that was to say, well, harok and meraglayim are problematic, but not her dam. Okay, that's the distinction Beit Shammai says. And Beit Hillel says, we don't make that distinction, okay? Beit Hillel will have a different distinction that we'll see when we get there, okay? So that's the, maybe I'll already say, they say it's like the Rok and Meragleha. Now, what did we say? If you remember, okay, I gave you a lot of information, so you might not remember everything. We said, the Dam is Metame Lach V'Yavesh. Rok and Meraglayim is Metame only lach, if it's liquid, not if it's yavesh. So what does he say? The dam of an Oveda Kochavim is going to be metame, not lach v'yavesh, only like the roke meraglayim, only lach, which means that people will already know, since it's only metame lach and not dried out, people will have a heker from that, right? This is a good example of what's noticeable and what's not noticeable, right? Different people have, like, you might say that's not the most noticeable thing because how often does it come out dry and how are people really going to know that halacha, that they'll remember that it's a heker? So that's why Beit Shammai says that's not enough of a heker. Let's just say her dam is not problematic at all and only liquids come out of her body are problematic. But Beit Hillel says, no, 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 we'll say it's Tameh, but only at the status of Rokeh Meraglayim, so it's a little different. That's already enough of a noticeable difference. Before we move on, what do you see here? It's one of the Kulei Beit Shammai and Chumrei Beit Hillel. And in fact, Rabbi Yehuda Masechet Eduyot says, okay, Perakei Mishnah Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shishat Varim Mikulei Beit Shammai and Chumrei Beit Hillel, and one of them is Dam Nochrit V'Dam Taharash HaMetzorat, and quotes our Mishnah. However, the rabbis don't agree with him, so some people say, right, that either they view this as the opinions are switched here, or some people say that the rabbis think that they both agreed about this issue, they didn't even have a debate. Where they held, I don't know. But, okay, so there's different misarot about this Mishnah Bichlal, just so you should know. Okay, so now going back to our Mishnah. So that's the first part of our Mishnah. We're going to get a lot into depth. So if you didn't follow everything, we're going to see all the details inside as they learn them out. Dam hayoledet shelo tavla. Now we get to a really interesting issue. We talked a while ago about the 95 tefillot, remember? Now, the assumption is the woman dunks after day 7 or after day 14, right? So the night of the 8th, the night of the 15th, depending on which. And then Beit Shammai, if you remember, said then she also has to go in the mikveh at the end of her dam tohar, even though the dam is already mutar, but she has to have some distinction. But most people didn't agree with him that you need to do that. Comes a case where what if she didn't tovel on day number 8 or day number 15? So now what happens? Is she automatically, is her dam the next day dam tohar and it's fine? Or does she have to go to the mikvah? Okay? Like, what if she didn't go to the mikvah? Okay. So here, again, we get into a machlok. Dam yoledet shelo tavla. Okay, what we're talking about is her dam tohar. If she didn't go to the mikvah in between the dam tameh and the dam tohar days. Beit Shammai omrim kiroka ukimeme ragleha. Ubeit Hillel omrim mitameh lach v'yavesh. So again, Beit Shammai is more mekel, but he's still, right, he says, it's only like her roka meiragleha, meaning it's only mitameh lach, not yavesh. Beit Hillel omrim mitameh lach v'yavesh. Okay, so he says, no, it's exactly like anything that would come out of her body, right? And therefore, the dam has the same status as before. In other words, comes Beit Shammai, and he says, listen, she didn't go to the mikvah, so we'll treat her as a problem, that anything that comes out of her body is a problem, but not because it's blood, right? The blood is just like any other liquid. And therefore, we're going to treat it like Roko Mei Raglaim. Beit Hillel says, no, she must go to the mikvah. She doesn't go to the mikvah, this is still called Dam Tameh. Doesn't change status until you go to the mikvah. I thought it was interesting. I didn't really see anyone say this. I didn't look it up, but Beit Shammai says you have to go at the end of the Dam Tohar. But it sounds like you don't necessarily, or ideally one should go then, but he was mekel on the dam in between the dam tameh and dam torah, and I thought maybe that's connected. Because if he doesn't view it as it's a must earlier, there has to be a must tefillah somewhere, so maybe he's more machmir on the last one, maybe because he wasn't so machmir on the first one. I'm not sure, but I thought about maybe there's a connection. Umodim bi yoledet bezov she imetama lach v'yavesh. Everybody agrees if she was yoledet bezov, again, what does that mean? It means, let's say she gives birth here. So let's say a few days before she had a bleeding for 3 days in her zava days. And then she didn't have Sheven Nikiyim, right? There weren't enough days to before the birth. So she has to do her Sheven Nikiyim after the birth, which means if she didn't go to the mikvah after day number 7 or day number 14, well, she must have 7 clean days and then go to the mikvah before she can start counting Dam Tohar. Dam Tohar doesn't kick in until she gets rid of her Zav that was hanging over her from before the birth. So everybody agrees then it's going to be Metame, both Lach and Yavesh. So now the Gemara goes back to the first opinion of Beit Shammai. Dam Ovedet Kochavim, he says, is Tahor. The late Beit Shammai, Deber al Bnei Yisrael, Vamar Tavehem, Ish Ish Ki Yezav, Bnei Yisrael mitamim b'ziva ve'ein ovdei kochavim mitamim b'ziva. Okay, so far this is just the pasuk that tells us zav and presumably zava and all those other things are only for Jews and not non-Jews because it says daber b'nei Yisrael. But the Braita continues and says aval gazru alehen shiyu kizavim l'chol divrehem. But the rabbis will go there that they're going to be considered like zavim l'chol divrehem. Zavim means both a zava and a zav, which means that a woman who sees blood, who's a non-Jew, should be considered a zava. So how can you say that the dam of a nevayir kochavim is mitaher? Doesn't make any sense. So, amri lecha Beit Shammai, and skip the next words because they're in parentheses here. Heichi liavid, what can we do for this woman? If we say, litame lach v'yavesh, asito kashel Torah, if we're going to say both, whether it's liquidy or whether it's dried out, we're going to be bitame her, well then, we basically said, she's a zava mita oraita. We don't want to do that, because then people will burn kodshim based on that and truma. Litame lach velo litame yavesh, if we say, like Beit Hillel said, well let's just say that only lach and not yavesh, well now there's a separate problem. Chilakta b'shel Torah. If you start to say a non-Jewish woman's blood is only tame if it's lach and not yavesh, what will happen? People will think that a regular Zava's blood is only with Tamei Lach and Yavesh and not just a non-Jew. They won't know that there's this distinction. So therefore, he doesn't want to do either of those. Okay, and that's why he says we're just going to basically, in order, again, the big word is Heker. In order to make a Heker, some sort of Siman, that this is only Mida Rabbanan, he basically cut out all of the Dam. Okay, the Dam of this woman. Right? So again, we're left with what for the Zava then? How is a Zava non-Jew like a Jew? The Rok Emei Raglayim is Tameh, but not her blood. Okay. Right? What is this? What are we really referring to? If her blood comes out and touches something, right? Blood generally will be an Avatuma, and so will the Rok and the Emei Raglayim, right? So they'll carry Tuma with them. So if they come in contact with something, are we going to treat it, right? So basically we're going to say the blood, no. The rok and the meimei raglaim, yes. I don't know how common it was. I mean, you did see the person who spit on on the Kohen Gadol, right? So if it was a non-Jew spit on the Kohen Gadol, you know, he'd be metame him. Okay, so you could see a situation like that. Blood maybe a little less likely, but it could be.
But then it doesn't make sense in that story because he was worried about the wife.
But that's because he was a Tzduki, he was a Jew. That's why. Okay, but that was the whole question. Why don't we just assume they don't keep Zav laws and, you know, and there was a problem in general. And then they tried to say, well, he was a Chaver, or was the Regel, and that was how they answered, but that was exactly their concern. So that's Beit Shammai. So now they say, Ihachi, well, if you're going to say we need to make a Heker, so Rokam me Meraglaim Nami. Right, so why don't we say that Harokam me Meraglaim aren't? So what did they say? Kevan davdin and hakera bedama meida yediyah deroko meraglah derabanan. Okay, so they say no. But very simply, we'll say one yes and one no. This is basically what we already said, right? We'll say the roko meraglah is a problem. How are we going to know it's derabanan? Because her dam is not a problem. And that's how we'll know. So the obvious question, pelavet hakera beroko meraglah, vili tamuye ledama. Why did you choose that one and not that one? Why don't you do the reverse and say her blood is metame and her roko meraglah is all fine? So what are the answer? Rokal meragleha, memeragleha, dishriche, gazrubu rabbanan. They're much more common, as I said before, right? You can see someone spitting on the street. I don't know about urine, but spitting on the street, yes, you might find, but dama de lo shricha lo gazrubu rabbanan. But her dam is not so common, and therefore lo gazrubu rabbanan. I thought maybe because roka meraglan come out of her body on a daily basis, whereas the blood doesn't come out on a daily basis. Amarava. Zovo tame. Okay, now we're moving on to, that was all, right? The Mishnah was talking about female Ovede Kochavim. We didn't get to the Metzora. We're putting that aside. We're sticking with Ovede Kochavim, but now we're moving to the males. Okay, so Rava comes and says like this. Zovo tame afilu lebeit shamai, kiryo tahor afilu lebeit hilel. When we made this gzeira on the Zav, that the non-Jewish person is going to be treated as a Zav, we're going to be concerned for his zav, but we're not going to be concerned for his keri, for any semen that comes out of him. Tumat keri, no. Tumat zav, yes. Okay, we're going to have to explain why. So, and now he says like this, even Beit Shammai, who's mitaher in general, is going to be mitame, the zav, and even Beit Hillel, who's mitame, in the other cases, is going to be mitaher, the shechvat zera, okay, the keri. So, now we're going to have to explain. Zovot tamei afilu lebeit shamai, dai ika lemei abad hakera bekirio. Okay, so it's cyclical. Since we're going to say the keri is okay, that's enough of a heker to know that this is all derabanan. So therefore, we're going to say his zav is a problem. Everyone will know it's only derabanan. Kirio tahor afilu lebeit hilel, averabbe rabanan hekera, ki echi dilo lisra falei truma ukadashim. Even Beit Hillel has to agree there has to be some sort of heker. So we're going to have to say, that's the heker. We're going to basically allow their shechvat zera in order that people know that when we're machmir on the zav, it's only to rabbanan. So again, the Gemara is going to say, "V'liavet hekerav zavo v'litamuli elikirio." Why don't you do the reverse? So again, they give a reason: zavo delo tali b'maase gazru be'rabbanan. Zov comes out without the man doing any sort of maase at all; it just happens. Therefore, gazru be'rabbanan in that case. Kiryo, the tali b'maase lo gazru be'rabanan. But when it comes to the keri, which is affected by an act that he does, that case, right, because semen usually comes out based on an act, so therefore lo gazru be'rabanan. They didn't make a gzeira on that. I didn't really understand the connection between the maase to the gzeira. It's not as clear. Shachiach lo shachiach is much more clear. Here, that it kind of happens versus it happens with a particular intent, I'm not sure the connection exactly. Okay. But anyway, that's Rava. He says, Zovo is tame according to everyone, Kirio is tame according to everyone. So now they want to try to bring a proof for what he says from a Mishnah. They're not going to succeed, but then they're going to bring a proof from a Braita and they will succeed. Lema Maseale, why don't we say that the following Mishnah supports this understanding of Rava? Ovedet kochavim shepata shechvat zera miYisrael. Tmea. Okay, a non-Jewish woman sleeps with a Jewish man, and she now has semen inside her body, and it comes out from her body. That semen is tme'ah. Okay? It's impure because it's semen of a Jew. Ubat Yisrael shepata shechvat zera mina ove kochavim tehora. But the reverse case, okay, there's semen of a non-Jew and a Jewish woman, that's not going to be tme'ah. So what do you see here? That they weren't gozer on the shechvat zera. My lav tehora gemura. Doesn't it sound like she's entirely tehora? So the Gemara says, lo, Torah midoraita, Tmeya midorabanan. You can say she's only Torah on a doraita level because it's non-Jew, but on a derabanan level, she would be, because what did we say? They were gozer on Zav. Maybe within gozer on Zav, non-Jew, they were gozer also on Shech Batzera. That doesn't prove anything. So now we're going to bring another source from a Braita, and they're going to try to say maybe it's Doraita, but you can't say it's Doraita, because that Braita adds one other thing, which makes it clear that it's talking on a Dorabana level. Tashma, Nimtzeit Omer, Shechvat Zera Shel Yisrael, Tmei'a B'kom Akom. Right, we can conclude from here, obviously it was connected with something before, that Shechvat Zera V'Yisrael is always Tamei, V'afilu B'me'e Oved Kochavim, even if it comes out of a non-Jewish woman. This is exactly like the Mishnah. And the semen of a non-Jew is always going to be tahor, and here we're going to prove that it's going to always be tahor, even on a drabana level, even if it's in a Jewish body. What's the exception? The meraglayim, okay, there's a debate. Are we talking about the meraglayim of the Israelite, or are we talking about the meraglayim of, okay, the meraglayim of the Oved Kochavim? In other words, we might say, one way of reading this is, and I'll just go with this reading, that if the Shechvat Zera comes out from her body and it has some urine of the non-Jew mixed in with it, well, then it's going to be problematic, because the urine of a non-Jew is, if we treat him like a Zov, then what do we say? Any urine that comes out of him is Tameh. So if the semen in her body is mixed up with some urine of his, then it's going to be Tameh. Okay, so now what do you see here? If the Tahor means Doraita, then also the Tameh is going to mean Doraita. Now, nobody thinks that a non-Jew's urine is Tameh midoraita, because we said those laws only apply to Jews. Only midorabanan it applies to non-Jews. Therefore, about Tameh midorabanan, if you want to say the topic here is on a Doraita level, but not on a Dorabanan level, atu meragla midoraita mimetamu. The Meraglah would never be Mitame on a Doraita level. And therefore, Elishma Mina Tehora Afilu Midrabanan. And therefore, when it says Tameh, it has to be Tameh Midrabanan. Therefore, when it says Tahor, it has to be Tahor Midrabanan. So here you have a proof for Rava that the Shechvat Zera is on a Dorabanan level, is totally Tahor according to everybody. Shma Mina. Now we're going to go in depth a little bit into this line. Amar Mar, Shechvat Zera Shel Yisrael Tmei'a B'chomakom V'afilu B'me'e Ovedek Kochavim. So now they say, Tifsho Tabai Rava. From this line, we should be able to answer, Rav Papa. We should be able to answer Rav Papa's question. Okay? Because Rav Papa asked that exact question. Now it's always weird if you have a Braita and an Amora many generations later comes and asks the following question and it sounds like nobody answered it. Somebody would have known this Braita. So there's a bit of a problem here. Tabai Rav Papa, Shechvat Zera Shel Yisrael B'me'e Ovedet Kochavim, Mahu. He asked exactly that. If you have Shechvat Zera of a Jew in the body of a non-Jew, is that Metame? So, what do they say? Right? It should be obvious from here that if it's B'me'e Ovedet Kochavim, it will be Tame, because it's a, right, it's Jewish semen. So, B'toch Gimel Lo Kame Ba'ilei L'Rav Papa. Rav Papa wasn't asking about the same situation that the Braita was talking about. The Braita was talking about a situation where the semen was within 3 days of going into the woman's body. We've talked about this before, that according to Halacha, we understand that the semen still is could potentially impregnate the woman for 72 hours. Someone once told me that medically it's true also. And therefore, we'd say the source that the Braita was talking about was within 72 hours. After 72 hours, it basically gets spoiled, or however, you know, the word in Hebrew they use is nasriach, right? It no longer it can function. So at that point, if it comes out of her body, it's not mitame. But ki kamibayle l'rav papa, that wasn't Rav Papa's question. Lo kamibayle, that wasn't his question. Ki kamibayle la'achar shlosha. His question was, what if there's semen from a Jewish person in a non-Jewish woman's body 3 days, after 3 days passed? Now, why would there be any difference here? The Gemara is going to give some creative difference. Ma Yisrael didaige b'mitzvot. Okay, now, the woman wants to really be mekayim a mitzvah. If she's a Jew, she wants to be mekayim the mitzvah pruriviyah. Because of that, her body, chavil gufayu umasriach, her body gets heated up in the excitement, and therefore, right, what do we know? In a hot climate, things get destroyed more quickly. So therefore, the 72 hours is in a Jewish woman's body. But they're not excited to do the mitzvah, so their bodies are less warm. Yes, hard to understand. And it's not masriach. Wait till you hear the continuation. Odilma, Odilma, or maybe kevan da'achlesh katzinu rematzim chavagufayu masriach. Maybe they have other things that make their body heated up, which is they eat creepy crawling creatures that we don't eat, and those warm up their body, and maybe because of that, their body is warm inside and will destroy the semen also in 72 hours. And the Gemara answers, Teiku, we don't really know. And that was Rav Papa's question. Okay, interesting. Yeah, I don't know what to make of that. Dam tahara shel mitzorat. Now we're getting back to the mitzorat. So what did we say? Beit Shammai mitaharim and Beit Hillel mitam'im. So reminder about the mitzorat. The mitzorat, we're talking about the dam tohar of Leda, which shouldn't, again, dam nidar zava, of course she's going to be tamei nidar zava, not mitzorat, not having to do with the fact that she's a mitzorat. It's irrelevant, of course she's going to be tamei. But if she's a mitzorat, generally urine and her saliva will be mitame. So do we treat her blood the same way or not? Okay, that's the big question. So Beit Shammai says, yes, we don't treat it the same way because it's not mitagel, right? It doesn't collect that way. And Beit Hillel says that doesn't matter. It's still a liquid coming out of her body. So, dam tarash mitzorat, Beit Shammai mitarim, Beit Hillel mitam'im. Might, right, Beit Hillel says it's like her rok and me raglai. My time at Beit Hillel. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, lazachar lerabot mitzorah lamayinotav, v'lanakeva lerabot mitzorah lamayinotav. Remember I told you, I referred back to that. We relearned it a few days ago. It says, hadava benidatav, hazav etzovo, lazachar v'lanakeva. Why did it have to say lazachar v'lanakeva? It seems unnecessary. Lazachar was to say that a zachar mitzorah, also anything that comes out of him is a problem, and lanakeva is a female mitzorat, also her. Obviously, there's going to be a debate here about why do you need to say it both for the zachar and the nekeva? Couldn't you have learned one from the other? So, my ma'ayanoteha. So, what does it mean, ma'ayanoteha? So, here's Beit Hillel. Remember, Beit Hillel is going to include the dam here. So, why? How does he get to that? If we already said mayan has to be collected and then all comes out at once and dam goes drip, 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 drip. If you want to say the mayanoteha of the nekeva comes to include, you know, the regular, the rok, the meraglayim, mizachar nafka, you could have learned that from the zachar. You didn't need a special pasuk to say so. Ela, therefore, what must it's the drasha la nekeva mayanoteha is coming to teach you lidama litame dam tahara shela. It's coming to teach you specifically about her dam, and the only dam it can be teaching you about is obviously dam tohar. So that's what he says. The whole drasha of mayanoteh for the nekeva is unnecessary. It must be coming to teach you something else. What must it be coming to teach you? Even her dam. Even though a zav, the dam wouldn't be, but for her, it would be. Ubeit Shammai, nekeva mizachar lo atya. He very, very simply says, you can't learn nekeva from zachar. Why? Dika lemifrach, ma lezachar sheken ta'um pri'a ufrima va'asur b'tashmish hamita. There's three laws by a zachar that don't apply to a nekeva, who's a mitzora. Okay, and therefore, when it says lazachar to include the mitzorah, we can say, well, zachar mitzorah has three halachot, where they're more chamor from a woman, and therefore, maybe we'd say, therefore, his mayanot are going to be tameh, but not hers, and that's why you need mayanotah to teach about the rok and meraglayim, not about the dam. So, what are these three halachot? Pri'a, he has to grow his hair long. Prima, he has to tear his clothes. And asur b'tashmish hamita. Okay, those are three things that are unique for man, for a male mitzora, not for a female. Tomar b'nekeva delo, and therefore you might say, b'nekeva, this isn't, and that's why you needed the halacha specifically to say the drasha b'nekeva. It's not then free to say, oh, it also includes dam. So what's Beit Hillel going to do? That's a pretty good claim. So what's Beit Hillel's retort? Beit Hillel, lichtav rachmana b'nekeva, v'lo ba'i zachar. Fine, you say zachar is more chamor from nekeva. So why didn't the pasuk just say, la nekeva, l'mayanoteha. From there, you learn also the zachar for mayanotav. Then, right, va'ana amina, so here, let's just read inside. If it just said b'nekeva, la nekeva, you would have said, that comes to teach you, la nekeva, mayanoteha. Va'ana amina, and then we would say, u'ma nekeva she'en tu'una priya ufrima ve'en asura v'tashmish amita, rabe rachmana mayanoteha, zachar lo kol sheken. And as if in her case, they said mayanoteha, then for sure the zachar, because he's more a machmir anyway, and therefore, now what are we left with? We're left with the word la zachar. Okay, so what are we going to do with that word zachar? Now, what he's going to want to get to, remember, what's our end game with him? Our end game with him is that the nikevaz dam is problematic. Okay, how's he going to get there from Zachar? It was very easy when we said we needed Zachar for Zachar. Nikeva, we could learn from Zachar, so Nikeva is unnecessary. Let's learn from there to her dam. But if we're going to do the reverse now and say, no, we're going to learn from Nikeva to Zachar, and then the Zachar is unnecessary, how are we going to get from Zachar to the blood of a Nikeva? So here it goes. From an Ime No Inyan. Remember the Ime No Inyan? Ime No Inyan means, well, if we don't need it for Zachar, then it must be coming to teach us something else. And then we can sort of throw it on anything. So we know in Yan Zachar, today when Yan Nikeva. Here it's not so far off anyway. So if it's not meant there for Zachar because it's unnecessary, because you could have learned it from Nikeva, whose din is more kal, right? This din is more kal, the Zachar is more chamor. So Tanei when Yan Nikeva. Vime no in Yan Mayanoteha. Now, if you're gonna put on the Nikeva, what are you gonna put it on? Well, the Mayanot of a Nikeva. But the Mayanot of a Nikeva, we already learned from the word La Nikeva. So we don't need it for there. So we may know in Yan Mayanoteha, Tanei when Yan Lidama. So therefore, we're going to say, from the Zachar we move to Nekeva. From Nekeva, you know, we get to Mayanoteha, but Mayanoteha we already know. So from Mayanoteha, we're going to say, not her rokeme raglaim, but her blood. Okay? And that's how we get there. It's a little more long-winded at this point, but that's, he had no choice because Beit Shammai had a good question. So now, what's Beit Shammai going to say? Beit Shammai, Zachar Nekeva lo atya. You said Nikeva is kal and Zachar is chamor. Actually, Beit Shammai said it. But, and you couldn't therefore learn from Zachar to Nikeva. But you also can't learn from Nikeva to Zachar because there's a different chumra by Nikeva. De'ika lemifrach, ma le'nikeva shetem kemitam'a me'ones. Tomar b'Zachar de'lo. Remember this? A Nikeva, if she jumps and it causes blood or some external circumstances cause her bleeding, she's t'me'a. That's a chumrah, because by a man, if some external circumstance causes this zav discharge, he's not tameh. So therefore, there's a chumrah by her, not by him. Therefore, you can't learn zachar l'nikeva, and therefore, right, we go back to each one is needed for its own sake. And therefore, the dam, there's nothing free to darshan dam. And both these are darshaning mayan for the male, mayan for the woman, which really only includes the things that are like a mayan, the collect, mitagel, right? They collect and then come out, and not dam. Ubeit Hillel, what's he going to retort to this? Kaime b'mitzora, uparche mili dezav. What's the whole chumra by the nekeva that Beit Shammai said? Why we couldn't learn from there to Zachar? The chumra is that me'ones, she's mitama me'ones. Now, what does mitame me'ones? She's mitame dam nida me'ones. But what was our topic of the drashot? Mitzora'at. So when we said the Zachar is more chamor because of priya and prima, and all, those were all discussions relating, those were all chumra relating to mitzora. So he says, kaimi b'mitzora, parche mili dezav. We were dealing with mitzora. You can't come up with, a difference between them, the zav and the zavah. That wasn't our topic. That's an irrelevant chumra. So therefore, he still thinks you could learn Zachar from nekeva. And then get to his answer. Ubeit Shammai shum tuma pirche. Beit Shammai says, no, you can knock it out from any tuma. It doesn't make a difference. Okay. Second option. Ibai deima. Amr, there's a different way that Beit Shammai learns this. Amr lecha Beit Shammai. Hai lezachar mibayle. Lezachar koshu zachar ben gadol uben katan. The reason why he doesn't learn this out is because the zachar, and let's remember, what did he say? What did Beit Hillel say? The Zachar is unnecessary. You could have learned it from Nekeva. And from there, we darshan Zachar, Yimino and Yan, that, Tanei, when Yan, Nekeva, Yimino and Yan from Ayan, learn from Dam, learn to Dam. He says, no. The Zachar is needed for something else. It's to teach you. Koshu Zachar, Ben Gadol, Ben Katan. Therefore, it's true it's unnecessary, but it's used for a different drasha. It's not used for this. Ubeit Hillel, so where's he going to learn that a Gadol or a Katan is Chayav and Zav? Not, or is Tameh, if a Zav? Nafkalemi vizot Torat Hazav. Ben Gadol, Ben Katan. This is a different pasuk. This is Zot Torat Hazav, which sounds like a general thing. General thing means it applies Ben Gadol, Ben Katan. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef comes and says, Ki Pashit Rabbi Shimon Ben Lakish Bezav, Bai Hachi. Okay, when he, right, when he was teaching, that's what he means, Kipasha, when he was teaching about Zav, he asked the following question. Ri'iyah rishona shel zav katan ma'u shetitma b'maga. Okay, a zav katan is considered someone who's 9 years and a day. So what about, okay, now we have, I talked in the beginning of today about ri'iyah rishona and shteriyot. If you see ri'iyah rishona, it's only mitame maga. If you see two ri'iyot already, then it's going to be maga masa, all mishkav, moshav, everything. Okay, so, and then we learn ben gadol ben katan. So when Rish Lakish was learning this, he said, is the Riyah Rishona v'zav katan ma'u shetitma b'maga? Do we say that it's also mitame maga? Okay, we're machmir about a zav katan, but we machmir even in one Riyah, or only in when he becomes a full-fledged zav in two Riyot, right? Also, the two Riyot, then he needs the korban and everything else. So, zot torat hazav asher tetze mimenu shechvat zera amar rachmana. Kol sheshechvat zera shalom mitame, Riyah Rishona shalom mitama. Hai kevan de shechvat zera shalom lo mitama. Riyah Rishona nami lo titma. Okay, I think I made a mistake. I think when I said before katan, I said 9 years and a day. My mistake. Shechvat zera starts from 9 years and a day. When we're talking about a katan here, I believe we're talking about, right, we're talking about under 9 years and a day. Okay, so what they're basically saying is, do we say that since, and that's, where do we learn it out? If you learn it out from Zot Torat HaZav, that's where Beit Hillel learned it out. It means even young. Well, what's the pasuk there? Zot Torat HaZav says, Ve'asher teitzei mimenu shechvat zera letam haba. Shechvat zera, we know, is only 9 years and a day. So maybe it's also only 9 years and a day for the Zav. Or, so do we say, Kol she'shechvat zera shalom mitame, Riyah Rishona shalom mitama? Okay, the Zot Torat HaZav is where we learn, because it says Zot Torat HaZav in singular, that's Riyah Rishona. So since that's the pasuk about Riyah Rishona, then we say that maybe Riyah Rishona is only relevant to someone who Shechvat Zera is relevant to. V'hai kevan de Shechvat Zera shalom lo mitama, Riyah Rishona nami lo titma. O Dilma, kevan de ilu iu chazitarte mitstarfa mitamya. Or do we say no? Theoretically, if he were to see two Riyot, so what do we say? The Din of Azav is relevant to a Katan, and that would be two Riyot for sure. So since two Riyot, he'd be considered a Zav. Well, since one Riyah can join with the second Riyah to turn him into a Zav, then maybe the first Riyah should also make him a Zav. So Amarava, Tashma, Zot Torat HaZav, Ben Gadol, Ben Katan. Since the drasha of Zot Torat HaZav, it comes from Davka that pasuk, Ben Gadol, Ben Katan. Ma Gadol Riyah Rishona Shalom Mitameh. Af Katan Riyah Rishona Nami Mitameh. So they say, since it's learned from that pasuk of Zot Torat HaZav, the Ben Gadol Ben Katan, again, that's according to Beit Hillel, we're going to say that, and that's the pasuk that relates to Riyah Rishona, we're going to say, just like a Gadol, Riyah Rishona is Metame, also the Katan, his Riyah Rishona is going to be Metame. Okay, we'll stop here.